This tape is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442, for the Canadian office and offices overseas. Listen at the end of the tape, please. Let's entitle this one, The Mystery of Lawlessness. It is called The Mystery of Iniquity in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. We'll get there for just a bit. But the mystery of lawlessness, as we will see, has started from the Garden of Eden. What I want to do, I want to focus in on how it has affected the church. And then we will see how all of these churches who profess Christianity are really lawless. Now, they don't think they are, and they don't look like they are, because they do profess some law keeping. For example, if you'd go up to a Sunday keeper and you would say, what church do you belong to? Well, I'm a fundamentalist. Well, I go to church every Sunday and every Wednesday Bible study. Well, if you would say to that person, well, don't you know that you're really not a fundamentalist if you don't keep the seventh-day Sabbath? Oh, no, that's not so, because, you know, God wouldn't hold me to that. I said, well, God says, you know, we're to keep the seventh-day Sabbath, you could tell them. You could also say, well, what about your Christmas, Easter, and New Year's? You know, those are all pagan, you know. And they get downright mad. Now, if we're a clerk behind the counter, they might assume you were ready there to rob them or something, you know, and try and get rid of you. But you might tell them, yes, God is going to hold you as accountable for Sabbath breaking and Sunday keeping, as he is for murder, adultery, and everything like that. And if you did that, of course, I don't recommend that you do that, but if you did that, I would really be surprised if you had someone say, well, boy, tell me about the Sabbath. I've really wanted to know about that. Because they think they are sincere, good, upstanding, law-abiding citizens and Christians. Now, like I heard, saw a little bit of Larry King last night, which it's awfully hard to watch Larry King anymore, because all he does is just help form public opinion. And you'll notice, I want you to hearken back a couple of years ago Stinking Thinking, was that last year? Mm-hmm. Yeah, last year. And how what they want to do is get everyone in on groupthink. All your news programs are what? They're all panels. No one is there to bring out the truth. Everyone has an opinion on everything. And it's the same way with what is called religion. Everyone has an opinion on religion. Because religion is no longer the Word of God. Religion never was. But for those people who thought that religion based on the Bible was the Word of God, most of them no longer believe it. So this man said, because they were talking about, well, what do you think about this Orthodox Jew being nominated for vice presidency with Al Gore, and that's what they were talking about. And one of the commentators said, well, you know, most of the people in America believe in Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And so then he was talking to this one man, I didn't get his name, but he had a cowboy hat on, and his first name is Imus. But I don't know what his last name was. He's a radio commentator. He says, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ as personal Savior, but all these other religions, they have a way to God too. So we cannot put them down and we cannot exclude them. So we have to be all inclusive on this. And that's precisely what they want in destroying Christianity wherever it is that you come to that point. And that is the ultimate goal of the mystery of lawlessness, to get you to reject God. Now, they don't tell you that. But that's the ultimate goal. That's why in many things that we have covered, remember the principle, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And I've seen this happen over and over and over and over and over again. Start out with a little leaven, a little sin, your own doctrine, which is not conforming to the Bible. And guess what? Bingo, bango, boom. 2 or 3 years down the road, you can have any kind of heresy, any kind of belief, any kind of non-belief. We've seen it over and over again. And in this, I want you to understand how precious it is that you have been called and how precious the Word of God is and why we need to really be about doing God's business and doing the things that we need to do in a very zealous and a profound way. Because when you look upon the earth, there are just not that many. Now let's come here to Matthew 7. I know this is basic and fundamental, and most of the things that we will cover will be basic and fundamental. But I have right here in my hot little hand, I have 5 books which I'm going to read from, parts of. All mysteries of iniquity. And it's amazing. And the reason that this started was, I got the book, and I was on the plane when I went to Seattle, and I was reading the book by Alan Knight, Primitive Christianity. Which, by the way, if you want, let me give his address once again. And if you get it, it's $15.95, and make the check out to Alan Knight. His address is 1917 Mount Hamilton Drive, 1917 Mount Hamilton Drive, Antioch, California. Antioch, California, 94509, 94509. Excellent book. If you want it, you can send for it. But I was reading this book. So a woman came in, and there was the middle seat, and she had the ticket for the middle seat. So she sat down, and she was reading this book, and I saw the title of it. How to Know God. I thought, my, that's a good title. The Soul's Journey into the Mystery of Mysteries, Deepak Chopra. And I said, well, how do you like the book? She said, well, I just started reading. I said, well, he's a Hindu. You'll never really know about God from him.
She closed the book.
Oh, no, she was reading it. So I got back from Seattle. That's true. You won't wait till you find out what's here. Wait till you find out what I'm going to read here. Well, that's true. I mean, sometimes you need to shock people a little bit, you know. It didn't hurt. She didn't know me. She didn't sue me. She didn't beat me up, didn't pull a gun on me, didn't call for the stewardess to have me arrested or anything like that. But anyway, when I got home, I wanted to find out where I could get the book, so I had Jim get on the internet, and he got me both of these. This one book here, How to Know God, and the other one by Alan Dershowitz. Remember that the lawyer that's on Larry King Live and really supported getting O.J. off the hook and all of that sort of thing? When I read you parts of this, you'll understand, because this is what they have written in all of these books. Then this one here is The Good Heart by the Dalai Lama. And this one here is Crossing Over the Threshold of Hope by the Pope. So we're going to read some excerpts from all of these, and you will understand the mystery of iniquity as you have never understood before. I mean, this is something. This book, How to Know God by Deepak Chopra, is a bestseller and has sold over 3 million copies. I mean, think of it. And then you compare the truth of the Passover. And we've sent out about 3,500 copies. See? How many people want the truth? None of them. Okay, let's pick it up here in verse 13. Matthew 7 and verse 13. And this lays the foundation and the framework for all of this. And this sets the tone and gives the definitions on how you know what is right, how you know what is wrong, so that when the apostles had all of the interferences we will see coming down through the New Testament and where it came from and what it was doing, they could go right back to the book of Matthew and know. Verse 13, enter in at the straight gate. That means difficult, and it is difficult. And that's why Christianity today, professing Christianity, is smooth, it's easy, it's broad, how to be successful, love your neighbor, all this sort of good stuff. Okay? For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And the thing that is important to understand is this: destruction doesn't happen immediately. Number one, because God is merciful and kind and long-suffering, hoping that they will repent. And number two, because there is success in sin for a season, and people will think that they're doing right, and whatever other reasons you can add on to those. But judgment does not come instantly, and judgment does not come in a way that people think. Call your attention to the book of Esther. Remember Mordecai sitting at the gate there, and Haman the Agagite, the equivalent of the Pope in Persia, he set out to kill Mordecai and all the Jews, and what happened? Right at the end, it turned out that Haggai was hung on the gallows. But it took a while, and it took some suffering, and it took some belief in God, because he was sitting there and everybody despised him. But God worked it out. Okay. Leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. So if you go with the majority of people, that's where you're headed. It's that simple. Because straight is a gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. And I think we're beginning to find out how few the few really is. It's just a few. Verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now Deepak Chopra doesn't believe he's a ravening wolf. But wait until I tell you who God is in his book. Because he's a Hindu, and he believes in reincarnation. He believes in these things. He even quotes from the Old Testament, even quotes from the New Testament, even quotes Jesus. I tell you, these things are slick as can be. You shall know them by their fruits, but you see, unless you know how to tell the fruits, you cannot tell. Because they appear righteous, they appear good, they appear sincere. And if you ever seen Deepak Chopra on Larry King Live, know this for sure. Anybody who's on Larry King Live is not really going to give you the truth. They're going to give you a position. But if you see him on Larry King Live, or if you see him on some of his own television shows, he looks honest, sincere, dedicated, mentally. He's quite a man. But you have to know the fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now, Satan's job is to come along and try and transplant or graft in evil branches. That's his job. Every tree that brings forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the lake, cast into the fire, which then is the lake of fire, eventually. Wherefore you shall know them by their fruits. Then he continues and he says this, which is the key to the whole understanding of all of these things. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That means practicing the will of the Father in heaven. And we will see exactly the basis of how a lot of these people use the word of God, misapply it, and do not do the will of the Father in heaven. So they can use the name of Jesus. They can call themselves Christian. You can't look at what they say. You have to look at the results of it. Many, verse 22, will say to me in that day, which then is the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Preached in your name? Prophesied in your name? I mean, I could show you Catholic prophecies where they have their prophets, especially Notre Dame, and all of this is supposed to be done in the name of God. Ellen G. White, supposed to be done in the name of God. Whoever else you want there, you can just plug in the name, see. And in your name, have we not cast out demons? And we've seen all of these too, haven't we? Oral Roberts, Benny Hinn. I think a Penny Hinn, you know, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. And then this Ishi, whatever his name is, he also said that, you know, as long as you believe in something, everything, you know, that's fine. See? I mean, it's amazing. That way you could say, well, I fervently believe in Satan. How's that? Well, he's the God of this world, isn't he? Do you believe in God? Yes. See? I mean, we're living in the day when all of this stuff is totally upside down. So it is, are you doing the will of your Father which is in heaven? Because some people will say, well, do you really need the Word of God to know it, to know God? The answer is yes. And he who says, I know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar. All false prophets are. Now let me read you something here for a recent meeting that Billy Graham was supposed to go to. And he says, many people have not believed it, but he has been an ecumenist from day one. And whenever any minister, Protestant preaching in the name of Christ, comes along and says, all you have to do is believe and open your heart, Christ comes in and you are saved. That is totally contrary to the Bible, because you first must repent, and you first, after that, then be baptized, have hands laid on for receiving the Holy Spirit, and keep the commandments of God. Now notice what he says. He says, I used to think that pagans in far-off countries were lost, were going to hell, if they did not have the gospel of Jesus Christ preached unto them. I no longer believe that. I believe that there are ways of recognizing the existence of God. Well, let's go back to older place here, Matthew 7. Let's go back to James, the second chapter. Because it's not just a matter of believing that God exists. That's not the question, and this is a very clever way of answering the question, because it sounds so good. There are ways of knowing God's existence. Now let's read it here. Pick it up in verse 19. Do you believe that there is one God? You do well. The devil's also believe and tremble. Does the knowledge of God bring any salvation to the demons? Of course not. Knowledge of God should be basic to everyone in the world, whether they are called or not, by the very creation of God. We'll see that in a little bit. But will you, O vain man, will you know that faith without works is dead? And that's the whole basis of lawlessness. You have faith, your heart is good, and what's in the heart counts. I like that tile man who was putting the tile over where I take my water therapy. Everyone was talking about God and Sunday keeping, and I said, well, you know, you need to, really, the Sabbath is the Sabbath. You know, and he says, well, God knows my heart. He says, I know the seventh day is the Sabbath, but I go to church on Sunday and God knows my heart. And I said to myself, he sure does. See? He knows your heart. See? So there's no works. See? Was not Abraham our father justified when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? And we'll talk about that a little later. What Alan Dershowitz thinks of that. You see how faith work or wrought, or that is coupled, joined with his works, and by works faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, for he was called a friend of God. You see how that a man, you see how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Here's another verse I want, verse 18. Let's back up to verse 18. Yea, a man may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Because if you believe, you'll automatically have works that follow. And those works are the works of obedience. So here we have Billy Graham's new doctrine, you are saved in your sins, not from your sins. And that's all part of the mystery of iniquity. I believe there are other ways of recognizing the existence of God, through nature for existence, and plenty of other opportunities, therefore, of saying yes to God. Billy Graham has previously announced that he also believes that men can be saved apart from the name of Christ. Now, all you good Baptists out there in Bible Belt land, what do you think about Billy Graham now? Let's come to Acts, the fourth chapter. You see, now the wolf's clothing is showing under the sheep's cover. Let's read it here. This is scripture, inspired of God. And one of the forms of lawlessness was Judaism. And there was all kinds of Judaism, from Orthodox Judaism to Orthodox paganism called Judaism, where they still required circumcision. I mean, this whole thing that people have been led to believe that the Jews all believe alike is like saying, all the Lutherans believe alike, all the Catholics believe alike, all the Baptists believe alike. Nonsense. They don't. They don't believe the Bible. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow, that is after they were arrested for healing this man, that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, remember, all of those were the ones who condemned Jesus. All of them were there when Jesus was hauled before them and committed to be crucified. And as many as were the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked him, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now here's from God himself. You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we be examined of the good deed done to this impudent man, by what means he is made whole, be it made known to you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. And this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Now, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Now, the word must in the Greek is comes from the Greek word DEI, which means it's obligatory. No other name. Can't be any other name. I mean, this is something. Man. Let's come back to Matthew 7 again, please. Matthew 7. Now God is going to have an opportunity to say this to Billy Graham. And he's the most widely known so-called Christian evangelist in this century. He followed Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was before him, and then he took over from Billy Sunday. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and your name have we not cast out demons, and in your name have done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto you, I never knew you. Things put in your margin there. 1 John 2 and verse 3. What does it mean to know God? Let's turn there. 1 John 2. It's become very important because we are going to be fighting this kind of mush-mush, fuzz-fuzz religion and people's belief in God the rest of this age. And it's all going into the one world religion, and that's how it's going into it, because there is no one that's going to stand for the truth. If you go into the one world religion, you cannot believe in the truth, you cannot believe in God, you cannot stand for anything. And I've been preaching this for a long time, and it seems as though that it even affects the Church of God. Now, a lot of times, people in the Church of God, when they find out that many of the ministers were not faithful, they turn around and show their unfaithfulness by having all kinds of silly and just unreal doctrines, just getting carried away with all kinds of stupidity. Who really believes God? Who really loves God? Who really knows God? I mean, you look at the example of Gideon. God said, get an army. He said, okay. He got 30,000. God said, no, I don't want 30,000. Only those who lap water like a dog. Well, now that's the silliest requirement you ever heard of for selecting an army, right? How many did he end up with? 300. He ended up with 300, which is 1% of 30,000. Yeah, that isn't even compared. There's not even 1% in the world. Well, of course, there are a lot of people out there we don't know of, you see. And I'm sure that the age that we are living in, one of the things that's going to help a lot of people is what we're doing on our website, because there will be, I know people right now who every Sabbath, they get on the website and they listen to a sermon every Sabbath. Now, how many people there will be doing that wherever? You see, and then when the one world comes down, one world government comes down to then make the enforce the mark of the beast, and there are going to be millions that are going to be resisting, and lo and behold, you're going to find out that a lot of them were keeping the Sabbath at home. So God is doing a lot more than we know. So we don't want to ever get presumptuous to say, well, it's just us, you know. Like one man said one time, well, I thought it would just be me and the ministers to go to a place of safety. And he says, now I don't even know about them. Yeah, Jim Miles just made the comment that he tried to figure it out, and we just came to the conclusion here that if 1% of the entire world's population of 5.5 billion, there would be 55 million believers. Now, we know it's not going to be that. Who knows? But let's back to this topic at hand here. 1 John 2 and verse 3. Never forget these verses. These are profound. Hereby we do know, and hereby means by this means, we do know that we know him. So it's not enough to say I know him. It's not enough to have an acquaintance with him. It's not enough to say his name. You have to know that you know him, and here is the standard. If we keep his commandments. Now that's something. There's that little word again. if, or which there are 1,200 or more in the Bible. He that says, I know him and keeps not his commandments, and that's present tense participle. Okay? Keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So the day can come, we can say to Sunday keepers, you're a liar. You don't have the truth. That's just the way it is. But whoso keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, and hereby we know that we are in him. And he that says he abides in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Now we'll see this is a qualifying statement because they were bothered by many antichrists. So where Christ says back here, just hold your place in 1 John, we'll come back there. Let's go back to Matthew 7. So where Christ said, I never knew you, that tells you, one, they didn't have the Spirit of God, because God knows everyone who has the Spirit of God. Two, they didn't keep his commandments. Okay. Three, they never had a relationship with him. I mean, this stuff really gets to be something. Now notice, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Now, iniquity is lawlessness. That's what the Greek word means. The Greek word is anomia, which means against law or lawlessness. But why is it a mystery? Keep your place there in 1 John. One of the ways they've skillfully done this is say all you need to do is love God. They say, okay, I love God. Okay. But you don't love him if you keep his command. If you don't keep his commandments, you don't love him. It's that simple. It's like saying in marriage, I will be faithful and obey, and I will not be sleeping around with every other partner. And then all you do the day after you're married, go around and sleep with other men, other women, and all this sort of thing, and you come back and say, I've been faithful. Nonsense. See? Nonsense. It is absolutely amazing. I mean, this stuff is amazing. What has happened, what's happening in the church, what's happening in the world. Okay, since we're back here in 1 John, let's go ahead with this. And he wrote this because, let's pick it up here in verse 15. Okay? 1 John 2 and verse 15. And here's how you know. Remember what Jesus said? They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world. No, John wrote that. We'll see that in just a minute. See? And they speak of the world. Billy Graham here in this thing is speaking of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And who is the god of this world? Satan, the devil. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but the one who is doing the will of God abides forever. And God gave his commandments as the expression of his will. Notice verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now if there were many then, think of what we have now. But it was clear back then. Remember how it started out? You go back and go through the book of Acts. First encounter with a false religionist was Simon Magus. The next encounter was Eliamus the sorcerer. Then the next encounters after that with the apostle Paul were all kinds of false ministers, claiming that they were Jews, claiming that they were Israelites, claiming that they were sent from God, and they weren't. All the way through 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, they are He shows that they are false apostles and that Satan appears as an angel of light and his ministers appear as ministers of righteousness. I tell you, and then it comes down to this. Many, verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. Now, chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. And let me just put here, every idea that comes along, because spirits like to give ideas. Come along and boop, put it in the mind. Did Satan put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus? Yes. Does Satan have fiery darts of missiles of ideas? Yes. Is he prince of the power of the air? Yes. But try the spirits whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So this tells us who's behind the false prophets. Right? False spirits, demons. Hereby we know that you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And I call your attention, please read chapter 26 in the Passover book. Christ came in the same exact flesh that we have. And how many really, truly, truly believe that? Very few. Also, let me mention this, since we have a lot of new people on the mailing list. If you do not have the General Epistles book, you write for the General Epistles book. That's James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude. And then start going through the series, because we have a series, a total of 69 tapes altogether, which goes through each one of these verse by verse by verse by verse. And you need those. Look, God is serious in what he's doing. And we're not to play church. We're not to be churchianity. We're not to hold up a fellowshipping as a social idol that we come together just to socialize. We come together on the Sabbath so that we can learn of God and know of God and study his word and learn how to live and be exhorted in the way that God wants us to live. That's why we have Sabbath services. That's why we have fellowship groups. Now notice verse 3. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, how many say that? The Muslims do. The Hindus do. Many so-called Christians today do. They said, well, Jesus was a good man, like Buddha and Mohammed and other prophets. You see? They are Antichrist. Wherefore, have you heard that it should come, even now is already in the world. We are of God. Now, that's quite a statement. You have to know, are you really of God? Do you know that you are of God? Do you understand that you are of God? Do you know that you have been called, that you have been chosen, that you have been selected for the greatest thing that is ever going to happen to this world, to rule when Christ returns? To take it away from the synagogue of Satan and Satan the devil and the people of this world? That's why he's going to make them come and worship before our feet. I tell you, God has called us. It's something. And have overcome them. And brethren, stay overcoming them. Don't let them overcome you. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now here's the one I referred to before. They are of the world. Therefore, speak they of the world, and the world hears them. And what do they use? The name of Christ with their mystery of lawlessness. We are of God. Now notice, verse 4, you are of God, referring to the brethren. We are of God, referring to the apostles and whatever ministers were there with John. And he that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears not. And you can try that any time on any Sunday keeper. You'll find out. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, which is really the spirit of deception, and who's behind that? Revelation 12:9, just put it right in your margin. Satan is deceiving the whole world, and he's got the whole synagogue of Satan, which Dr. John Coleman calls the Committee of 300. I call the synagogue of Satan. And I'll talk about this in a later sermon, but you need to get the book, the Committee of 300. Let me tell you something, brethren. We cannot sit back and sit idle and just not know what's going on and not study the things that are happening today. You cannot. You've got to know. You've got to understand. If not for yourself, one day you're going to have to tell somebody else. I talked to a man who's up in Anchorage, Alaska. I baptized him 5 years ago. And he's been attending one of the other churches of God up there just for a fellowship. But he says they don't know anything. They don't know anything. In 5 years, he knows more than some who have been in a church 30 years. See? And that's why I do what I do and read what I read and preach what I preach. It's not for me, it's for the brethren. It's not to make me look good, because if I look good, so what? What does that prove? Proves nothing. Nothing but vanity, you see. Here's the whole thing here. It says, hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We are to know the spirit of error. How many have seen the movie Patton? Yes. See the movie Patton? Remember when his first encounter with Rommel? He's out there and he had his helmet on and he had his binoculars out there and he was watching Rommel's tank column come up and he said, "USOB, I read your book. Fire!" So we're going to have to do the same thing. We're going to have to know. We're going to have to read their books. We're going to have to understand where they come from, where they're going, and what they're saying. See? You can't go just on what Protestantism was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 30 years ago. You can't. But you can rely on the Word of God because it's eternal. Jesus said, these words are spirit and these words are life. And no other name under heaven by which you can be saved. Man, I tell you, that really got me hot under the collar, didn't it there? That thing with Billy Graham. Imagine the millions that he's going to deceive with that. Millions and millions and millions. Ghastly. All right, we can go on with a little bit more here. Let's come to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and then I'll read out of some of these books that I have here. And I think you are going to be amazed. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Let's go there. 2 Thessalonians 2. Now, I've already covered concerning the man of sin, the son of perdition, so we won't go through that. Let's pick it up here in verse 7. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Already working. But only he who now, as it should read, restrain, will restrain until he be taken out of the way. And right now at this present time, I believe, brethren, the restraint has been lifted, and it means not be taken away until he come out of the midst of the system. That's what it means. And I think the restraint has been taken away. That's why all of this is going on. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, showing that this mystery of iniquity or lawlessness, and iniquity here is anomia, which is lawlessness, the mystery of lawlessness, if he's going to be destroyed when Christ returns, shows that this is going to last clear on down to the time of Christ. As a matter of fact, grow right alongside. What did it say there in the parable of the tares? Let them grow to the end of the age. They grow right alongside. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And to answer that question, yes, you must know the Word of God, because the Word of God is truth, and that's what will save you through Christ. Any other way will not do, period, regardless of what a person thinks. And I'll tell you one thing here. Part of the mystery of lawlessness is this. People give their opinion on what God ought to do, and they end up telling God what to do and then reach back and gather some of his commandments so it looks good. That's really the whole heart and core of it here. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should be a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And unrighteousness is sin.